Father, we come before you and we thank you for this afternoon that you've given us, Lord. And Father, I do thank you for the work that you're doing here in the midst of the Reddit Corp, Father, and just with all the clients. It's pretty awesome to see your hand moving on this, Lord. Father, I pray that you would bless and anoint your word, the teaching here, Lord, and that you would speak to us loudly. And Father, we just love you and we thank you for your word and for the privilege and power of prayer. Go before us, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. So the Lord led me to Nehemiah chapter 8, and there's 18 verses here, but I'm not going to read the 18 verses. I want to take the time. I'm going to do a narrative of the main emphasis in chapter 8. But I do encourage you to read Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah, he focused on God's word and on prayer. And amazingly, what it did, what it always does, it brings revival. So Nehemiah was a man of vision. He did want to rebuild the wall. That was what he had mentioned to the king he wanted to do. But beyond that goal, he had the more significant goal of rebuilding the nation, the Jewish people, Israel. Nehemiah knew this needed to be dealt with by Ezra, who was a scribe, who was a spiritual leader of the people. But Nehemiah, of course, would still be involved with the work. So here we see what has to happen first for the beginning of any true national renewal, and that is the word of God. In verses 2 to 12, it tells of a public assembly in which Ezra the priest read from the law of God. He read it to the people, and we see how they were affected by it. So Ezra stood on a large wooden platform that was erected for just this purpose. There, with 13 of the most prominent Levites, he read from the book of the law. And of course, that would have entailed the first five books of the Bible. We know it as the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses, Genesis to Deuteronomy. So one thing I want you to notice, Ezra read from the book of the law from early morning until noon. That was about 6 hours. Now, that's a Bible study I'm talking about. Here's what's so significant. The people showed extraordinary reverence for the law. They stood in respectful silence when Ezra opened the scroll, and when he prayed, they responded by saying, "Amen, amen," and they worshiped God. You know, I want to get a little historical on this. Not hysterical, historical. This is what we need in the United States of America. Instead of honoring God's word and hungering after it as the people of Judah did in the days of Nehemiah and Ezra, our country seems intent on doing everything possible to keep the Bible and religion out of public life. And yet our country was founded with a conscious attention to and respect for biblical principles. We've been told that our founding fathers were, for the most part, unbelievers. But while there is some truth to that, it's also a distortion. Let me give you some examples here. I really love this. Thomas Jefferson, he believed in the existence of a God on the evidence of reason and nature only. But that doesn't mean he totally discounted the Bible. On the contrary, he said the Bible is a cornerstone of liberty. Benjamin Franklin was a skeptical unbeliever, but he believed in prayer. He inaugurated the practice of prayer before deliberation, which still goes on in Congress to this very day. George Washington, he gave a strong testimony of faith. In a small prayer book composed when he was about 20 years old, listen to what Washington wrote. O most glorious God, remember that I am but dust. and remit my transgressions, negligences, and ignorances, and cover them all with the absolute obedience of thy dear Son, that those sacrifices of sin, praise, and thanksgiving, which I have offered, may be accepted by thee, in and for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, offered upon the cross for me. Direct my thoughts, work, and words. Wash away my sin in the immaculate blood of the Lamb, and purge my heart by the Holy Spirit. John Witherspoon, president of the College of New Jersey, now known as Princeton, and the only clergyman to sign the Declaration of Independence, he wrote this: "He is the best friend to American liberty who is most sincere and active in promoting true and undefiled religion." Andrew Jackson, the 7th president of the United States, he said this: "The Bible is the rock on which our republic rests." Daniel Webster, a great American statesman and orator, said, "There is no solid basis for civilization but in the Word of God. If we are to abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering. The Bible is a book which teaches man his own individual responsibility, his own dignity, and his equality with his fellow man." William McKinley, 25th President of the United States, he declared this: "The more profoundly we study this wonderful book, and the more closely we observe its precepts, the better citizens we will become, and the higher will be the destiny of our nation." These men have various degrees of spiritual understanding, and differing in their traditions, they recognized that a nation is only as strong as its underlying faith in God, and that the Bible is essential for survival. How far away from that we've fallen. How badly we need to get back to the scriptures and follow their teachings. If we're to see a spiritual recovery in our land today, we find the means and the steps to revival revealed here in Nehemiah chapter 8. First of all, Ezra began by prayer. Verse 6. This is the first time we see Ezra in Nehemiah. His prayer before his reading of the law. But Ezra's appearance is significant, and his prayer was more than just something formal, as we see by the response of the people. Ezra's prayer accomplished two things. First, it established a sense among the people that what was to follow, the reading of the law, wasn't a civil matter, but had to do with God. This makes two significant points. First of all, the law was already recognized among the people. I mean, it wasn't something that was still in the process of being developed. Secondly, the people knew it was of complete divine authority. It wasn't a human book. It was from God and was to be revered as God's book of the law. Secondly, Ezra's prayer opened up the people's anticipation of what God might want to do among them. The second step to revival, Ezra read the Word of God in verse 3. Probably the greatest fact is Ezra read from that law for 6 hours. You know, many times I wonder if we really have the same respect for God's Word, and if we think of it as highly as many of the people in the Bible did. Notice the people stood when Ezra opened the scroll. It was an acknowledgement of what the Bible is: God's Word. The third step, the explanation of God's Word, verses 7 to 8. One of the most important parts of Nehemiah is the reading of the law was accompanied by interpretation or explanation. Now, we understand explanation doesn't have the same authority as the Word of God itself, But it is important, since the Bible is not meant only to be heard and revered, but also to be understood, acted upon, and obeyed. Topical messages can be relevant and moving, but what God has promised to bless and what He has most used to bring blessing is the strict teaching and preaching of His Word. The fourth step, verse 9, grieving over sin. The first evidence that revival was on the way was sorrow over sin. I mean, this was intense grief. It says in verse 9, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. No doubt because they were convicted by God's word. Even though God's people are always in need of a revival, still, there was different because something started here in Israel that lasted until and even beyond the time of Jesus Christ. Ezra was asked to give daily Bible readings as the heads of the families determined to have regular and systematic Bible study. Man, I love that. I love that. The people had a hunger and thirst for God and for God's word. They had a priority to commit themselves to the study of and the teaching of God's word. The rest of chapter 8, the people receiving instructions for celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, or what they would call booths. It was a festival like our Thanksgiving, but it was in a way that reminded the people of the days they wandered those 40 years in the wilderness. As they celebrated, they were to remember it was God who provided for them. It was God who not only led them, but blessed them. So we need to be joyful. And if we aren't, it's probably because either we don't love God's word or because we don't want to obey it, so we don't want to be around it. I want to close with what G. Campbell Morgan said. G. Campbell Morgan said, this book will keep you from sin, but sin will keep you from this book. God's word in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time that you've given us in it, Lord. Just the many men and women in the Bible, in the scriptures that we read of, that totally devoted themselves to your word and to prayer. And how amazingly you worked on behalf of their lives, Lord. Father, I pray that we would catch a vision of this. Nehemiah was a man of vision. We desire to be men and women of vision, God. Lead us and guide us through your word as we read it, as we study it, as we're taught it. And Father, as we diligently pray and seek your face for you to move on behalf of us and our families and our businesses. We love you, God. We give you all the glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.